I want to say how much what Norm said. He quoted, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Family Bible song fits right in with my message this morning. And then Tracy did not know when I asked for the last song, "I Know Whom I Have Believed," that was right in with my text this morning. And that was the reason I put you on the spot for that. So my apologies for doing that. But I thought it's just a good song. "I Know Whom I Have Believed." My text this morning is "One Thing I Know." One thing I know. Now, there are a lot of things that I believe. First of all, I believe in the inerrant Word of God. I believe His Word is infallible. I believe it's the yardstick that we should measure everything by. And I believe that it was God-inspired, that God moved by men in the days of old to pen it all down, and that He did not make any mistakes in it. I believe His Word, and I believe that's what should be the final authority for everything. I do not understand it all. I do not make any pretense that I do, but I believe it because it is God's Word. And because I believe His Word, I believe in God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that those three each have their own entities, and that they have their own offices, and they perform and they carry out the functions of each one of those perfect. I believe that He is a sinless God. I believe that He is the only one. We've got some people who think they are, but there's only a part of them that He is. The rest of them are like the rest of us. They're flesh. I believe that He came and He lived here, the Lord Jesus Christ did, that He died for the sins of mankind, and that He made the perfect plan of redemption. It needs nothing taken away from it, and it needs nothing added to it. It is perfect, just the way that He laid it out. I also believe that He came for me and for you, and that He does love us. I believe that. I believe He left His church here in the world to carry on, gave Him the commission, gave Him the authority to preach the gospel so that souls could be saved. I believe that every child of God, if they expect to follow the Lord, need to follow Him in the ordinance of baptism. I think that's just as taught in the Word of God as anything else. And then I believe every child of God is supposed to work while they live here upon the face of the earth. Work for Him. Work for Him. So there are a lot of things I believe. Oh yeah, I believe in the Baptist. I believe in the church. But I'll tell you this, I do not believe everything that's going under the name of a Baptist church is a Baptist church. And I don't believe that all of His churches necessarily carry the name of Baptist either. You can't look at the name and identify His church. You've got to look at the practices, and that according to the Word of the Lord. There are many, many things that I believe, but there's one thing I know. I know I am saved. I know that. I don't have to believe that. I know that. And you need to know that if there isn't anything else at all. You know, I marvel at our technology today. I marvel at what we are able to do today, how far that we've advanced in every area of life here upon the face of the earth. Over, I'm sure that if our forefathers of 165 years ago were able to walk into the doors of this church this morning, they would simply be astonished at everything. But I would hope that they could come in here and hear the same gospel that they were preaching 165 years ago, that they would recognize the Word of God that we are preaching and teaching today as being the same as they were preaching and teaching in that day. And when that I say, I know I am saved, that would not be alien to them because they believed that very same thing and knew that same thing. My text this morning is out of the 9th chapter of the book of John. And as most all of you know, this is my very favorite portion out of the word of the Lord, of the blind boy who received his sight. And I have no way of knowing he was a boy. Obviously he was a man, but I've called him a boy all my years of preaching, and so when I speak of him as being a boy, please forgive me. And no, that's not scriptural. That's just my take on it, that I still see him. And one of the reasons I guess I probably do that is that he still had his mom and his dad. But he was old enough to speak for himself. I want you to listen this morning to the word of the Lord, and I want you to just keep that thought in mind. One thing I know. Jim Pulley used to preach, and I've always remembered this from his preaching. He used to say, you know, when the Apostle Paul wrote and said, I'd rather speak 5 words with mine own understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue, he said, I think I know what the Apostle Paul was saying when he said those 5 words. I know I am saved. He said, I believe that's what those 5 words were. Well, he believes that, and he was convincing enough that I could kind of go along with that. There's no substantiation of that in the Scripture, but I don't know of any 5 words that I'd rather be able to say than to know I am saved. And so I hope that each one of you are able to do the same thing. The Bible says, when Jesus passed by, he saw a man was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, we'll stop right there. I want you to just get in your mind the picture of this man, Boa, who's here, and he was born blind, so he's never seen anything. And the Lord comes along with his disciples, and when his disciples see this blind boy, they say to the Lord, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now see, they had that old superstition in that day, and it's carried over to many of our people today. We still got people who have the same concept, that because of some sin that his parents had committed or he had committed had caused this blindness. Well, obviously we know that if he was born blind and he hadn't committed any sin up until that point in time, he was conceived in iniquity and born in sin, so that made him a sinner, all right, but he had not committed any sin at that point in time when he was born. Neither the Lord said it was it the responsibility or the fault of his parents that he was born blind, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. So God had a plan. He's always had a plan. He had a plan for your life, for my life, for each and every one of us. And sometimes it takes some of us a little longer to figure out what his plan is for us than it does others. Some are able to just get right into it right away, and God blesses them. And some of us, we just kind of wander helter-skelter all over everywhere and trying to figure out what it is he wants us to do, where he wants us to be, and on and on. And we spend a lot of time in trying to get into his plan. But he does have a plan for every single one of us. And so Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And after he had spoken unto the disciples, the Bible says that he stooped down and he took some of the dirt or the clay, and he spat upon it and placed it upon the eyes of the blind man and told him to go to the pool of Siloam. And he went. The Bible says the blind man went to the pool. Now, someone's probably going to say, well, how did he get there? I don't know how he got there. The Bible doesn't say how he got there. You know, again, whenever I tell you that the Word of God, that I believe it, but I don't understand it all, there's some things in the Word of God that are just not explainable. But I have to accept some things by faith, and I have to believe, you know, if God can do this, he can do that. If God can speak the world into existence, there isn't much he can't do. If he can create every creature there is, if God can take from the dust of the earth and create a man and a woman and breathe into them the breath of life and they become living souls, I don't have any trouble believing that whatever reason or however the purpose was, the blind man got from where he was talking to the Lord on the road here to the pool of Siloam. The Bible says he went and he washed and he received his sight. He comes seeing. Now, you know what the problem with a lot of people is today? They want to try to work everything out themselves. They want to try to do everything their way. And I can understand this because I kind of felt like that, you know, I wanted to be able to call the shots on when I got saved. I wanted, as you've heard me say, I wanted to be an old man when I got saved. I wanted to live life. I had a lot of ideas of what I wanted to do. They weren't consistent with what I heard those church people say and those preachers say. Because all I can remember now them saying is, you can't. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there. And by golly, I wanted to go to some of those places and I wanted to do some of those things. And so then, Maxine, when I got to be an old man and I couldn't do those things anymore, then I'd get saved. Yeah, I'd be just like they were. Then I could say, well, you can't do that. You can't go there. It's wrong. We still do that today, every one of us. You know, it's wrong for them, but it's all right for me. Yeah, it's big sin for them, but it's just a little sin for me. You follow me? You with me? Well, let me tell you something. We don't get to make all those decisions. We don't get to call those shots. And we don't get to do things our way many times. Now, I can understand what's going to happen here in this particular portion of the Word of the Lord, because I've read it many, many times, and I see this in people that I deal with all the time. The Bible said very clearly that Jesus told the man what he needed to do, and when he did what the Lord said, the Lord did what he told him he would do. He gave him his sight. You know, if we would just listen to what the Lord says, and if we would do what the Lord says, and pay attention to doing exactly as he says, we'd be a lot better off. But we want to know what he says, and then we want to put our input into it and revise it. If it doesn't please us, then we'll modify it a little bit. Well, God's word doesn't need any modification. God's instructions don't need to be revised. They need to be carried out. The old boy, he did what the Lord told him to do. Very simple thing. Just go down there to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went down there and he washed. The Bible said he came seeing. The neighbors thereof, therefore, and they that were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Now let me tell you something this morning, and you can believe this whether you want to or not. I believe that when God saves a person, that God changes that person. I believe God, whenever he saves the individual, that he takes that old stony heart, and he makes it a heart of flesh. He takes all the hatred, envy, and strife out of there, and places love in our hearts. I believe that. I don't have any problem at all in believing that God places love in our heart. First, the Bible says salvation is peace. That's the first thing that happens to the individual. Peace, joy, happiness, love. All of these things, you know, are taught in the Word of God. But he takes all that nasty stuff out and puts good stuff in there. He doesn't just recycle. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I think that our lives should reflect that there's been a difference in us. What worries me so much is that many times after a person gets saved, they look more miserable than they did before. My goodness, people, we ought to be the happiest people upon the face of the earth. We ought to be the most thankful people there are upon the face of the earth that the Lord saved us. Instead of running around like we're a sour puss, or we're eating green apples or sour grapes or green persimmons, whatever.
My goodness. God gives us so much and we need to be thankful for it. Well, this old boy got his sight. And when his neighbors saw him, they said, well, is this the same old boy that was born blind? Why wouldn't he be different? Why wouldn't his behaviorisms be different? My goodness, all before he'd had to have someone to help him all the time. They'd had to guide him. They'd had to help him. He wasn't able to get around like you and I can. He couldn't see. He was handicapped. Now then, he's able to just get out here and he's going, man, he's talking to people. And they're saying, well, it's him. No, some of them say, it's not him. It's just somebody like him. I try to tell people all the time, there's never going to be another one like you. There's never going to be another one just like me. Now, we may have some of the same mannerism and some of the same behaviorisms. And that's one of the things that I learned very quickly in preaching. I never preached like another preacher. I used to think, boy, I'd like to preach like so-and-so. And some of the preachers that I liked would have been like, you just curl your toenails if I were to tell you who they were. So I'm not going to tell you. But I learned that God did not call them for me. He called me to be me. And he's called you to be you. You are who you are. You're me. This old boy said, no, no. He said, I'm the one. I'm he. Now listen. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. That's simple. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Every child of God here this morning needs to hear this that I'm going to say to you. Do not think for one single second that you need to try to change, modify, embellish your experience of salvation. Accept what the Lord gave you and just say, thank you, Lord, that you saved me. I know I am saved. I know that. Some of you worry about whether or not your experience is as overpowering as somebody else's. This old boy, he said, well, they said, tell us what happened. He said, well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. He said, a man called Jesus. Now we're going to find out a little later. He doesn't know a lot about him. Didn't matter. He wasn't supposed to be an expert. We've got too many people today who quote to be experts that they don't know diddly squat about what they're talking about. That's why I say to you people all the time, listen, you got to understand lost people don't understand what you're talking about when you begin to talk about salvation, you begin to talk about the Spirit of God. They are alienated from God. They are in direct opposition to God. They have rejected Him. They don't have the ability to discern the Word of God. You do as a child of God, but they don't. We can't get that in our head. We want them, we think they ought to be able to understand these things. They can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. These people... I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. A man called Jesus took clay, spat upon it, placed upon my eyes, told me to go to the pool of Siloam. I went down and washed and got my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. I don't know where he is. Can you imagine? He wasn't concerned about where the Lord was now. He was excited about what had happened to him. He had just got his sight. That clock's moving awful fast this morning, or I'm going awful slow, one of the two here, and I thought I was... going okay. Listen. They said, where is he? He said, I don't know. And they brought to him the Pharisees, to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath, and when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Same story. I'm not going to change it for you. It's my experience. That's what happened. And I'm going to tell you guys, you're all of the you're all of the big educated, holier-than-thou people, but I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my neighbors out there. A man called Jesus took clay, spat upon it, placed upon my eyes, told me to go to the pool of Siloam, wash. I went and washed and received my sight. That's what happened. Now listen. Then and therefore, says some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So the Pharisees, they can't figure it all out themselves, so they're going to fuss and fight among themselves. Some of them had to be Baptists. Now, I can't say that about any other church. But I know this. I know we Baptists aren't the only ones who fuss and fight sometimes. The rest of them just try to keep it secret. And many of our Baptists want to keep it secret. I just try to be honest and open about it and know that it's going to happen, you know. Let's be honest about it. Quit being hypocritical. Anyway, they couldn't say, well, he did this on the Sabbath day. Oh, no, he couldn't be of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And he that he hath opened thine eyes. And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? And how then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now, every single one of you need to understand this is a practice that we have among Baptists, and some of our church members don't seem to understand this either. Whenever there's somebody, my kid brother just asked me the other day, he says, what do I have to do to join your church? I said, well, the first thing you have to do is come before the church and give an experience of salvation. And then we go from there. Now, that's probably going to sound a little unusual for me that I'm going to share that experience with you, but that's all right. There's a reason that we ask people to come before the church and give their experience of salvation. If they haven't been saved, they have no business being in the church. They shouldn't be in the church. If they have been saved, they shouldn't be ashamed to tell about the fact that the Lord has saved their soul. Now, they may not get up there and give a long dissertation. Sometimes I've just said to somebody, have you been saved? And if all they say is yes, then I have to believe that. There's no reason for them to lie to me about it. And if they lie about it, it's not my responsibility, it's theirs. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Very quickly, I may run over a few minutes this morning. I hope you'll bear with me. Many times the altar service I've worked where that somebody gets saved and they'll say to you, the Lord saved me. But they stay down there. And sometimes I know what they're wanting. They're wanting me to say, the Lord saved them. I always have had a practice to say, well, you need, if he saved you, you need to get up and tell him. Sometimes people want somebody else to say it. I can't say it for somebody else. I don't know. I believe what they tell me. But that's what they need to do. That's what you need to do as a child of God. Nobody else can give your experience. Nobody else can say that for you. But you can. And so the parents said, you know, he's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Yeah. Listen. Don't ever be ashamed of what God does for you. Never. How blessed and how fortunate we are that he loved us enough and he cared enough for us and he was willing to give his life to be able to give us the gift of salvation. And the least that we ought to be able to do is act like that we appreciate it. Yeah. They called him again. And they said, now you give God the praise for this. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, listen, whether he be a sinner, I know not. I know not. One thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. Now you all can have all the big discussions you want to, and you can debate and you can argue over whether this man's of God or not. You can argue about whether it should have been done on the Sabbath day or not done on the Sabbath day. You can ask me where he is and all about him, and I don't know. But one thing I do know is I was blind, and now I see. Yeah, can you think about that? Why wouldn't that be something that would be uppermost in his mind and his thoughts and appreciation for the fact he could see? You know how many times we take things for granted with the Lord? Too often, folks. Too often. He said, whether he be a sinner, I don't even know. You can just argue about that all you want to. That's kind of like I tell people all the time, you know, especially among the preachers. We love to get into these big discussions about things that we think we know, that we don't know any more about than anybody else does. Where the Apostle Paul was saved. Was he saved on the road to Damascus, or was he saved after he got down there and the old servant came in and laid his hands on him? How many of you here have your idea of which place he was saved? Most every one of you do. You know, some of you are going to believe one place, some are going to believe the other. You know what? I don't really care. I could care less. He was saved, though. That I know. Yeah. Whether it was on the road, and somebody says, oh, well, then you can't make the rest of the scriptures consistent. Well, I can, too. Or if you say when he got down there and the scales fell from his eyes, I can make that consistent, too, either way you want it. But I know he wasn't saved twice. But I don't know which place it was. And I thank the Lord that he didn't put it in his word, because you know what? We'd have had a shrine built over there wherever the spot was, Ronnie. Yeah, we'd have built a big temple over there saying, this is where the Apostle Paul got saved, right down here. Lord, I just all thought that. If you're going to start building those shrines, I want you to just go back up there to the Wheatland High School and put one there coming up out of the gymnasium. That's where I got saved. Not going to happen. Listen, this old boy said, "One, you know, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But there's one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." Think about that. I'm going to quit there. There's some more. That's your homework. You go home and read this whole chapter again. You need to read it again, because I cut it up pretty much for you. But listen, with all of the debate that's going on, with all of the turmoil that it's created, the important thing was, this old boy said, is that I was blind, and now I see. Of everything that has ever happened in my life, the one thing that I know this morning is that I know the Lord saved my soul. I know some other things. I know he called me to preach the gospel. I'll guarantee you, if he hadn't, I wouldn't have been up here this morning. You couldn't have paid me enough money to get up here and done it. I'd have been out there doing some of those things that them younger people won't do, that even as an old man. But let me just say this in closing. I never lost, and I never missed a good thing in life, because I was a child of God and because I was a preacher of the gospel. There have been a lot of minuses, but the pluses have always outweighed them. Yeah. And so I can stand here this morning and say one thing I know. I know I am saved.